I just thought I'd like to do now, just spend a little bit of time really just sort of digesting yesterday, if that's okay. I mean, I just wondered what, if you could share what yesterday spoke to you, or what yesterday, how do you feel after yesterday? Are you changed? Are you transformed? Did you meet God there? Because you felt those things that were spoken. I'm realizing, I'm sorry that you weren't here yesterday, so it's not, but maybe you can get a picture of what was going on by hopefully what people share now. I enjoyed yesterday. One of the reasons I enjoyed yesterday is because everyone was doing the preaching, and actually Ben, he's great, by the way, but he almost didn't need to say anything because a lot was said already. But yeah, over to you, and everyone's going to say, oh, really? Got a bit of work? Yeah. It was great. Okay, good. Thank you, Daniel. Do you want to expand on that? Do you have any... No? So just, you know, we've had this, we have a story which goes right back to the Baptist church, and one of the Baptist ministers, or the Sunday school, was to start this church. And but we didn't know anything before that, and actually yesterday, for the first time, that everybody, apart from Emma and I, because we only had a sneak preview, we've been told, the minister of the Baptist church, we've gone into the old archives and found what before that, the story kind of over the whole thing. I'll tell you later. Yeah. Yeah. It was very much like Big Family. Go for it, please. Yeah. Yeah, like it. Good. No? Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, it is. It is. Graham and I were talking about that full service as well. That's what Martin brought 10 years ago. And also Stuart. There's another one from Stuart Lindsall. And you look at it and you think, you know, talking about debts. I mean, it's quite specific, isn't it? You know, sort of help with debts. And then, because I shared this with Daniel about a year or two ago when we were, because I just found it in the office. You know. So yeah, very encouraging. Can I tell you something? I'll confess this, okay? And I said this to Louise. Margaret and Keith, they talk about these people, but I know these guys as Margaret and Keith, so that's quite friendly. But they talk about people like Mr. Williams and Mrs. West, and they're all titled people, you know. It's Wendy, not Mrs. Pritchard, you know. But it seems like if Wendy was in the church 50 years ago, she'd be Mrs. Pritchard, you know. And that, to me, has this kind of old and slightly fuddy kind of feel about it, if I'm honest. And so I just imagined that everything that happened in here, I'm just being honest with you, in the past, was a little bit bit dusty, you know? But yesterday, then when we started praying, it was just like, I don't want my cake. You know, it's sort of like, nobody, everyone, you couldn't stop people. And I suddenly realized, it was a revelation to me, that whilst we are quite free and charismatic, I suppose, now, I've always thought in the past maybe it wasn't quite like that because everyone was called Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so. And in my mind, I have this old-fashioned idea of church. My goodness, I think it was just the way people were praying. You can tell that there was people knew the Lord and they knew how to pray and they knew how to flow with in a spiritual. So on my confession is I just thought, you know, you always kind of feel as though you're a bit better than before, you know. And I think actually, I just realised that actually the Spirit has been moving here in a more, because we just tend to think this is a charismatic era, but actually, you know, the Spirit's been moving all that time. So it's just, it was a real revelation to me. And it was so wonderful, wasn't it, to hear the testimonies of people, you know, from a long time ago. So just bowled over by that. The other thing, that Emma kind of gave me a bit of a nudge as well, because if you listen to the history, our second leader, really, was a lady, which actually in the 50s or whenever it was, 40s or 50s, was probably quite radical. And so this whole thing that we've had about staying with the FIUC or not, we're just, again, finding who we are, and that's being true to who we are. We've always had, having a leader, a female in leadership, has not been unusual for us for a long time. So. Did it? Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah, happy we're being. I was thinking that. And actually on that PowerPoint, Josh, did you put the PowerPoint together?
What did you do?
Oh, you did.
Wow.
That's pretty good. But, you know, technology is kind of like, yeah. Well, I was, everyone was kind of, people were transfixed with it, and I said to Chris, because assumed a technological boy had done it in your house. Sorry, Emma. Yeah. Women are not allowed in PowerPoint leadership in this chair. But I think a number of people would quite like a copy of it. So, I mean, like, ask these guys and they can send it to you. Sorry, Margaret. That'd be wild. Okay. Sure, there's a vegan check. Yeah, and I think, and that's a good, and it's a good sign that actually the church, like Ben was saying, about how do we become culturally relevant, and if everyone else is wearing top hats, then okay, we'll wear top hats, and then we will, but we now call each other Leslie and whatever. So, yeah, exactly. Well, and I have to say one final thing, just and then I'll carry on, otherwise we'll all day. But Ella said to me yesterday, she dressed in a, like, reasonably scruffy leggings and a t-shirt. She said, "Dad, do I have to get dressed up today?" And I went, "Yeah, of course." And I was thinking, okay. And as I was saying, yes, it'd be nice if you made an effort. And I'm thinking, well, our founding principle is that this church started for children who didn't have the right clothes to wear. So I said to Emma as well, it's all interesting, isn't it, that we've all got dressed up today to come to celebrate 100 years of being the church that allows people to come with the not the right clothes. And I think, yeah, maybe, yeah, we should dress up. Yeah. So, but I think it is a challenge, you know, just to, you know, there in itself is that we have this heritage, but then we also do things that conform to what church, we think church should be like as well. So it was just, I'm not going to go any further than that. I'm just going to say it was interesting. Okay, that's interesting how we do tend to just go and think we need to dress up. When actually, and there is a reason for that, but at the same time, we need to not forget why we dress up. So, go on, no, Shari, if you've got, yeah, 30 seconds. Are you going to? cry this time, or are you going to manage to hold this together? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I think Shari has just hit, the nail on the head, really, because I felt yesterday was like a recommissioning for us. And that all this talk about DNA and being sent out in that sort of DNA and that who we are, remembering and reminding ourselves of who we are is so important. Because 100 years is a long time, isn't it? You know, to keep going and keep going, and I think Keith, in your prayer, you rightly said there have been sometimes when we've been a bit down in the dumps, I think, with your words, and you can get like that, you know, and you think, oh, it's a long journey, you lose sight where you're going, you know, or you can get distracted, you can get unfocused, you can sort of see what's going on in another church, or and think, oh, wish we were doing that, or wish it was like that, or, you know, just you forget the original promise. You know, I imagine Abraham, you know, when he was trudging along 25 years from when he was promised a child to when he had a child, he kind of guessed that he probably got a little bit kind of, really? In fact, he did, didn't he? I was like, oh, is this really going to happen? So I think it's good to be reminded and refocused. And I felt, to use a modern thing, it's a bit like being rebooted yesterday, you know. And I say this to Louise will say the computer's not working, and I know I learnt from Chris, but the answer is, what, Chris? Have you turned it off and turned it on again? Yeah, and I felt like yesterday was a bit like, let's do that kind of, just remind ourselves of who we are by turning ourselves off and turning ourselves on again, and just having that reboot and refresh, recommissioning. when you turn something off and turn it on again, it doesn't change, it's still the thing, isn't it? It doesn't morph into another thing, it's still the phone or the laptop, but it hasn't changed, but it kind of remembers who it is again, and sort of goes, oh, really? Yeah. And just to remember, you know, that God doesn't change his ways, really. And one of the things that Pete, you know, Pete comes and leads worship with us on Friday evening, he uses this phrase, mission drift, a lot of the time, because if we're doing a Kairos gig, you know, or sometimes you are asked to do something, and you know, we're a band and we like playing creative music, and then you think, yeah, but we need to earn a bit of money, and then you end up, and then you simply find yourself playing the Birdie song, you know, dressed as sort of Munchkins or something, you know, and you think, how did we get to this place, you know, because things, you go from one thing to another, and you end up doing, how do we get there? And he calls this mission drift, but I think it's his unique phrase. But there is no mission drift with God. You know, we easily mission drift, don't we? You know, we think, oh, right, and we start getting distracted or going off this way or just get a bit tired and we veer off course. But being rebooted, being reconnected with who we are, said, finding that, remembering that, is so important. And the other thing that I just felt as well is that, you know, sometimes, again, when we are feeling a bit down in the dumps, we sort of think it's almost like we're pushing this great big boulder and trying to get some momentum going ourselves, when actually, if you stop and just hear everything that was said yesterday, that we are in a flow, aren't we? There's been something happening here for 100 years, and it's been, now that may have meandered, it may have gone a bit like the Thames does around, you know, Canary Wharf, that kind of area where it kind of does that funny kink, but at the same time there's this flow. And we don't have to overcome, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, we don't have to re-establish anything, but this river is going in there, it's going. And everything that people were saying yesterday, from way back and also just currently, and what was, it all just contributes to that flow, and heading in the same direction. And so I wanted to read. See, I've forgotten what a Bible looks like. Thank you, my dear. Yeah. Back in the olden days, about 3 months ago, it used to be one of these in the piano. I used to sort of grab it. I was going to read Isaiah 61, which is what Jesus. I read the bit Jesus read this. I want to just read all of that, just to remind us that this is what God does. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendour. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord, and you will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I reward my people and make an everlasting covenant. The descendants will be known among the peoples, and their offspring among the nations. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. But as the soul makes the young plant come up, and the garden causes seed to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations." That's the direction of the flow. That's the direction the river we're in. And I think it keeps going. And so yesterday I just felt that flow, and I felt the Lord sort of challenge me and us, because I don't know if you modern swimming pools nowadays. I don't know if you've been to a modern swimming pool, but in the old days swimming pools were like you swam lengths, and those swimming pools still exist because I'm Josh Dandy Baptist. But if you go to a sort of modern leisure centre swimming pool, they have these things called a lazy river, and you go in and you see these people bobbing up like this. And then they kind of go around the corner and they go like this, and it looks very relaxing. And what it is they put this little current in this kind of little loop of the swimming pool. Okay, and it looks very relaxing. And in fact, you get in and it is very relaxing. You kind of, you get a little lie low and you can bob along. I don't know if you've ever tried going against the flow in one of those things. I'm not a great swimmer. Have you tried doing this? You probably can do this. But it's hard work, isn't it, to keep going in the opposite direction. Because even though you're only kind of moving like this, in the current, to actually swim against that current is really hard work. So lesson number one for church: if the Holy Spirit is moving this way, don't try and swim that way, because it is really hard work. And I think anything that we try and do that goes beyond where God is working, we'll always find it hard work. So it's a good kind of like, is this really, really hard work? And in that kind of way, then we've got to ask ourselves, are we going into God's way? But the other thing I just felt, the real challenge was, we know that the flow, the general flow, okay, where God is leading us, and we talked about that a lot yesterday. But are we going to just get in our lilo and sit there maybe with a sort of a cocktail in our hand and sort of get a book and just kind of just go along with the flow? Or do we get out the oars and start paddling in the same direction? Or do we get out the sail, stick it in the boat, and actually set our sail so that we're going to catch that wind and go a bit? I'm seeing my metaphor slightly out there, but just actually do something to go along with it rather than just be carried along. Because I think we will keep going. and God is faithful. But there's a challenge to us to how proactive can we be in actually saying, well, this is where God's taking. This is the direction God is taking this church. We've been reminded of it, and we look back and we can see, oh yeah, this is where it's gone and this is where it's going. Are we just going to passively flow along with it, or can we in some way just get on board and actually get an oar and start paddling and say, yeah, I'm going to go with it. And maybe move along with a little bit more pace or a little bit more momentum, a little bit more power than what we're doing. I suppose the question is just asking, where is God working and how can I just work with it rather than let it all pass by? And you might think, well, how do I do that? Just in our prayers, learning to pray in a way that goes with that. To pray for the church, to pray for the folk around, to see God working in their life. I've got another story, I need to tell about this, but I'll come back. In the way we give our finances, and you know how we use the things that God has given us, and how we put those finances into the work of the church. Engaging with our neighbours. Who is it, Liam? Liam came to you, wasn't he? He said, oh, I don't know any of my neighbours. And Liam said to Wendy, well, have you invited any of them around for Sunday lunch? And he, like us, would say, no. So that just even simply that, you know, there are people around us that we can bring this into this flow if we sort of actively, proactively go out rather than wait for maybe then come to them to share Jesus. Because if you read Isaiah 60, I love this, and go back a chapter in Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings of brightness to your dawn. Jesus says something very similar in Matthew, doesn't he? Say, you are the light of the world. Don't hide the light. Don't stick it under a basket, I think he said. Thank you. But let it shine before men, that they would see your good works and glorify the Father. And so there's a call there to say, well, God works this way. Get up. Get into it. Go for it. Let your light shine. And so I feel there's a challenge to us, you know, we can say, yes, there was a good day, and yes, God has been good over these years, and yes, he will continue to be good. I have absolutely no doubt about that. But then there's also the challenge for us to say, okay, well, can we arise into that? Can we get on board with that as we're recommissioned? And I think, going back to what Shari said, I think it's important that we, as we know, the more, and this applies to us as individuals, as well as the church, the more we know who we are, the more that we just thrive in being that person. You know, all this transgender stuff today is just the spirit of the age, is just kind of complete confusion of who we are. You know, don't take me out of context here, but there's a whether whoever people are nowadays, there's just a confusion today. And here God says, this is who you are. And the more you dig into that, you're more like, oh, this is who I am, and then I can be this. And so I think as we find who we are as a church, the more of that we get into that, we can grow in confidence and do that, and being who God's made us to be. So I think keep telling the stories, whether it's Mr. Williams in the field and all that other stuff that Ben brought yesterday, whether it's stuff that happened later, Sunshine Special, we should keep telling those stories. We should keep telling the stories of today. You know, 9 families fed at Food Bank, 25 people this week. 1 new cap client. We, Lou and I, went and helped another lady clear out a house this week, and she was so happy. But that empowered her then to get on with the rest of the house, really. She sent us a picture of the living room with kids sitting on the sofa and being so good. Just God is working through those things. We need to keep telling those stories because God is continuing this flow now. And I'll finish with this. This is God is at work in all of this. So Paula Byas, who was supposed to actually speak in the service but didn't, got there late. Paula Byas, I have a connection with her. She used to come to this church, but I used to teach her son trombone about 15, 20 years ago. And so I kind of know them through Pepperty. And then I found out they came to this church, so there's a connection. Anyway, so, you know, Javid was here yesterday. It's lovely that he stood up when I said, can everyone from the church stand up to be prayed for? He stood up. So that's how he sees himself. Paula said, Javid. Oh, hello. Paula taught Javid's wife to teach English. Taught Javid's wife to speak English. About 7, 8 years ago. And so she knew Javid. And so I just got chatting. I said, I really want to, you know, just better share the gospel. And out of her handbag, where did I put it? I don't know what she does. Maybe you can tell me later. She pulled a DVD, The Life of Jesus Christ, in Urdu. I've got it on DVD. She said, you can have it. Can you give that to Javid as a present? And I'm like, okay. Do you carry these about in your handbag all the time? Yes, I do. All right, okay. So it's also in all the other languages here as well. And I just thought, my goodness. You know, here's Javid, who... Yeah, well, exactly. He can't... I mean, that's great you do, but he can't read much, if I'm honest. So it's great, don't stop doing that. But at the same time, he's a bit kind of... Oh, isn't he? So to have this, and I'm thinking, this, God is working in every single little thing. Every conversation that Daniel has with a cat client. You know, every interaction we have at Job Club. Every time that somebody comes to feast. Every time you pray a prayer. Every time we gather to pray. Every time we worship. God is doing something in all of that. And sometimes it's like those seeds that get dropped and you think, and then the kingdom of God comes to surface. And maybe 100 years later, who knows, the thing comes up and we will never know about it now. But we yesterday rejoiced in the things that maybe some seeds have sown, that, you know, some of those children of the West girls, as they are. You know, to hear their testimony, the three ladies that are sitting here. But their faith and their passion for the Lord, you know, I mean, wow. So that encouraged me. God is at work in all those things. So don't all our labour in the Lord. Do not lose hope. It is not in vain. As I read out. Let's finish. I'll read that bit in Matthew properly, rather than me paraphrase quoting it. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Bless us. Yeah. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to need some cake. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you that you've brought us to be part of this church. We thank you that yesterday there was a sense of recommissioning, rebooting, and just connecting us with, again, with the flow that goes before us and the flow that carries on from us. And I pray, help us now, give us that challenge in our hearts to say, how can I pick up the ball and just now continue to paddle in that same direction, to pick up the things that you've given me to do and to walk in the same way as you, Lord, in this church, in this place. We pray, let us continually more and more discover who we are as a church and grow in that. And let us just continually not lose hope or sight of the fact that you are working and you are moving us forward. And that our labours are not in vain. Bless your name. Fill us with your spirit and with your heart for those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.